Portents of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mishulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. We know that the world is full of bloodsuckers, so let's learn about the catacombs. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Sister Euphemia knelt in the cathedral praying. Paris was on fire, and it felt like the entire world was ending. For months, the people had been taking their anger out on the nobles, decapitating them in the streets. The bloodlust had reached a fever pitch. It was not long till the mob turned its hateful gaze on the church. The other nuns were rounded up and imprisoned. Sister Euphemia barely escaped. Robespierre denounced the papacy and created a new national religion, the cult of the supreme being. The revolution led to mass violence and arson. The city was gripped by fear. No one wanted to be the next neck under the falling blade. But all these hardships were not what Sister Euphemia was praying about. No, she was praying for the strength to destroy the evil that was thriving off the carnage. She hunted vampires. Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Jesus, hear our prayers. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. Paris, 1794, May 8th, 1 o'clock a.m. The wind still had a bite to it. The air smelled of fire and death while the night sky glowed an ominous red-orange hue. Telling snowflakes and ash apart was impossible. Sister Euphemia was clad in black, with a hood drawn over her head, the cross in her bag the only sign of her faith. The bag was a small leather backpack that contained all the items she needed for the night's hunt. She was the last sister standing between the people of Paris and the vampire hordes. She was to protect those who outlawed her faith. They know not what they do, she thought. She scanned the streets. She saw two of the beasts standing under a lamp talking as if the city was not burning around them. With just a whisper of wind, Sister Euphemia catapulted forward, landing in between the two startled vampires. In a flash, the sister plunged a stake through the taller one's chest. The impact was so hard that it easily broke through the breastplate and pierced his heart. He screamed in horror, fangs flashing in the lamplight before his undead body exploded into a torrent of blood and viscera. Sister Euphemia was covered in gore, but her outfit hid the true extent of the carnage. The second vampire sprung forward, fangs out, looking for revenge. There was a flurry of blows as the two fought, but then the vampire felt the sting of divinity when Sister Euphemia shoved a silver cross into its throat, piercing its jugular. The vampire, unable to wail, exploded just like his friend. The sister was left alone, standing in a large pool of blood and guts. Suddenly, the sound of people approaching broke the silence. She could not let anyone find her, especially dripping in remains. There would be too many questions, and if they were vampires, she'd be in trouble. Sneaking up on a vampire was hard enough, but without the element of surprise, they would have the upper hand. Sister Euphemia vanished back into the darkness as quietly as she had appeared. Sitting in a darkened alleyway, breathing heavily, the young nun's hands shook with adrenaline. Two more dead vampires, that was a good hit, she thought. At the same time, she knew it was a drop in the bucket. She had failed to find their lair during the daytime. That was impressive, sister. The church taught you well, a silky, smooth, Italian-accented voice said from above her. Quickly, she whirled around, grabbed her stake, and looked up. Several feet above her was a vampire standing horizontally to the wall's surface. His face was covered in shadow, but she could feel him staring out at her. If you saw what I just did, then you are a fool for coming near me. Maybe you wish to finally die? Come down. I can help you move on from this world, she demanded. Oh, you're Irish. Your French needs work. Well, you're Italian, and your accent isn't doing you any favors either. Who are you? Touché. I am John. Nice to meet you. And your name is Sister Euphemia, correct? How do you know my name? She demanded. She had never spoken to a vampire before. The church had taught her to kill and escape. These creatures are in league with the devil and will lie to get their way. They cannot be trusted. The fact that he knew her name sent a chill down her spine. I know much about you and the church. Sad what they did to your other sisters. Imprisonment is no way to treat nuns, John said calmly. Enough. Come down and I'll do the same to you as I did to your friends. John let out a long laugh. Friends? No, my love, they were not friends of mine. But we can be friends. I know it's been lonely hiding in the cathedral by yourself. Sister Euphemia ignored the last part of his statement. No, you couldn't. Also, you're being awfully familiar calling me love. Before becoming a monster, you must have had a mother. Didn't she ever teach manners, she asked. My mother is a distant memory. Now, I do remember my church days. You are married to God and a virgin. But here's the thing. If he hasn't consummated the marriage, is he really a husband? She smiled, very funny. Now I'm going to kill you. You can't, he replied. That is unless you plan to fly up here. A flying nun would be great entertainment indeed. I should also warn you that I'm not as young as those two idiots you just killed. You're right, I can't fly, but I can get to you, I think. So why not just come down and I'll show you what I can really do? Naughty sister, you're going to make me blush. If you want such carnal delights, you will need to woo me first. Besides, we really should keep things professional. I wouldn't want people to talk. John's tone had shifted. He knew what would happen next. Sister Euphemia could feel her ears getting hot. How dare this arrogant vampire speak to her this way? She seethed with anger. Now you look. Calm down. No need for hysterics. I don't want to fight, my love, he said. Stop it! Sister Euphemia could feel herself losing her composure. You know something funny? I was just like you. I was raised to believe in the Almighty, and I became a priest. But that was a very long time ago. How is that possible? Priest blood would have been like poison to a vampire, asked Sister Euphemia. It's not. In fact, your blood would taste like a fine wine. Devout virgin and servant of God? I can taste the notes of youth and vitality just thinking about it. Now, you must know that not every priest or even nun is virtuous. I surely wasn't. True, priests are just men and can fail. I'm sure your sins were great for a vampire to be able to turn you. Oh, I led a very sinful life, and it was magnificent, he replied with a fang-filled smile. Why not come down and we'll talk? Because I don't want to have to kill you, my love. Stop saying my love, she commanded. Don't get yourself worked up again. I was hoping we could work together. I'm not working with the likes of you. Sister Euphemia had had enough. She quickly bounded between the walls of the alley effortlessly. John waited. Just as she flew at him, he evaded and struck her square in the back, sending her 10 feet down where she performed a perfect belly flop onto the cobblestone. Pain shot through her body. Tears welled in her eyes. She gasped for air. John descended and put his claws to her throat. You're young, fanatical, and hot-headed. Those three things will get you killed, or worse. Blind faith is for idiots, my love. And with a gust of wind, he was gone. She never even saw his face. Stupid, stupid, stupid! He could have killed me, she thought. But why didn't he? She felt weak and outmatched for the first time. She hated it. Pain throbbed in every part of her body. Moving was a challenge, but she had to get back to the cathedral. It wasn't far, but every step was pure agony. Slinking along the back streets and shadowed walkways, Sister Euphemia thought about what the vampire said. He claimed to be a priest. She'd never really met a bad priest, but she had heard rumors. Still, she believed this vampire. She knew men could fail. How did he sin? Who was John before he became a creature of the night, she wondered. He was right. I let my anger control me, she murmured. The broken windows of the cathedral allowed a cold draft in. Ash covered all the surfaces inside and out. The sister entered through the broken side door. There was a concealed loft in the lady's chapel where she slept. She had been sleeping there when they raided and arrested the others. She almost attacked the intruders, but then they would all be imprisoned, and that helped no one. Still, she felt guilty over not being with the other sisters. After the arrest of the nuns and priest, the mob had stripped the hall of anything, even going so far as to tear out the marble tiles. Barbarians, she thought. Her stomach gurgled. She was hungry, in pain, and alone. Cut off from the church, her sisters, everyone, really. It was a bleak reality, and standing in an ash-covered, desecrated cathedral did not help. She understood the people's anger and the need for change. They were starving and abused by the rich with little to no recourse. But the revolution had devolved into wholesale murder, in her opinion. It had gone too far. "Feeling sorry for yourself, my love?" John's voice echoed through the chamber of the church. "How dare you! This is the house of God," she yelled while turning to see where he might be. New adrenaline muted the pain, but only for a moment. "What did I just tell you not 30 minutes ago? Your anger, blind faith, and reactionary outbursts will be your undoing." John stepped out from the shadows next to the pulpit on the altar. He looked about the cathedral and gave out an audible sigh. "I remember God keeping a cleaner home back in my day." The moon lit his porcelain features. He was tall and extremely handsome with perfect wavy jet black hair and pock-free skin. Sister Euphemia guessed that he must have been in his early 20s when he was turned. She moved forward, but this time slowly. The sister did not have enough energy to fight. "Why are you here? If you're going to kill me, do it fast. I just ask that you don't make me a vampire, please." "If I wanted to kill you, well, you know the rest." "Also, there are worse things than becoming a vampire," John replied. "I doubt that." "Your anger interrupted our conversation. That is why I'm here." "I must ask, how can you stand in this hall? You should have burst into flames the second you stepped on holy ground." "It's no longer holy ground. Plus, the older a vampire gets, the less holy items and places work against them. I could stand with a cross under my feet if I wanted to. It might hurt after a time, but that's all." She stopped approaching. Her legs hurt too much. Dropping to the floor, she gave out a heavy sigh. "This vampire talks too much," she thought. "Well, fiend, you have me. Kill me quickly and be done with it," murmured Sister Euphemia. "So dramatic. Look, you can't be this slow. I said I wanted to work with you," John insisted. "Why? You're an evil, undead nightmare who kills with no regard." She coughed and felt her ribs move in an unnatural way. "Fine, speak your deal, devil." She resigned herself to the fact that this vampire wouldn't shut up till he had his say. "I'm no devil, but yes, I do hunt humans. I must eat, just like you. It's not evil, it's the natural order. I also understand the hatred. A gazelle does not want the lion to eat them, so they run, but the lion must chase. It must eat to survive." "What's a gazelle?" Sister Euphemia asked while finally looking up at him with a blank stare. "It's a fast-moving, deer-like creature. You know, it doesn't matter. Here is what I'm offering. I know you've been looking for a vampire's den here in Paris. I'll give you what you seek. You just have to get rid of them," John said with a grin. "Why would you do such a thing? Why have me kill your brothers and sisters?" she asked, perplexed. "They are not my family, my love." Suddenly, he was standing above her. "If only I had the strength to kill this man. He's less than a foot away," she thought. "Stop calling me that, you arrogant bastard," she snapped at him with a tone of molten fury. "No, but I will answer your question. There are too many of us. When the revolution started, it created copious amounts of food. The streets ran crimson with so much savagery. It was impressive. With all that extra blood, the eldest of us started making new vampires. They wanted more servants, I guess. It's short-sighted. What happens when the blood supply runs dry? It's better to cull the weak now rather than fight vampires mad with hunger. I tell you this, sister. When all these beheadings stop, it will be bedlam. Just imagine a Paris where hundreds of vampires were starving. They'd drain the city dry in just a few days. I, for one, have no desire to move again. I like it here. So what do you say, my love? Can you do it? This feels like a trap. She looked him in his cold, undead eyes, looking for a soul that wasn't there. It's not. John produced an envelope and placed it next to her. Here are the locations. I know you need rest. Good luck, my love. I told you not to call me that, she screamed. But he was already gone. Arse, she mumbled. Picking up the envelope, she noted a very old papal seal on it, but the wax was new. Strange, she thought. Inside were the locations of dens all underground. Probably in the sewer. Great, she thought, letting out a sigh. She made it to her cot and passed out. In her dreams, John would appear and was nice to her. She dreamt of kissing him, being with him. Upon waking, she felt guilty of these lustful thoughts, but the dreams were always the same. It's as if John had put some spell on her. She was startled awake by the sound of glass breaking and laughter. Sister Euphemia could not tell what time it was or how long she had been out. It felt like days. She knew it was most likely kids breaking the glass. Why don't people just leave the cathedral alone, she thought. She continued to fade in and out of consciousness. The passage of time meant nothing. All she had were waking pain and lustful dreams. When she woke, she would drink the water and eat the bread that were always next to her bed. When Sister Euphemia could, she'd pray, God, my Lord, please help me find the strength to carry on your work. Help me heal so I can serve your glory. Forgive me for my wicked thoughts. Amen. Sister, wake up. A voice broke through into Sister Euphemia's dream world. Come on, wake up, it said forcefully. Father O'Shale, I thought you died. I haven't been called father in a long time. Come on, get up, John replied. Finally, Sister Euphemia came to. She sat up. John was sitting next to her. You've been in and out of it for 2 weeks. I didn't realize how much damage I caused you from that fall, he said. Tis but a scratch. She smiled, drunk on too much sleep. You're brave, no doubt, but fighting vampires will take a toll, John replied. Yes, I know. She was starting to come to her senses. Why are you here? I've been here, taking care of you, feeding you, cleaning you. We've had full conversations, you don't remember? No, I thought it was all a dream. You took care of me? My help can't be that important to you, she scoffed. It is. Things have only gotten worse. That's terrible, but I think I broke a rib. I don't know how long it will take to heal. If my sisters were free, we would be out hunting together. But I can only do so much on my own, the sister explained. Your kind heals much faster than us, remember? I'm aware, but we need to act. Besides, it's not good to just sit in bed. She looked at him with nun's side eye. Your self-serving concern about my well-being is touching, really. But I cannot rush the healing process. Only God can. Not true. I have a way, John stated. Let me guess, drink your blood? You think I'm daft, do you? The sister knew how vampires were created. Correct. I have no desire to corrupt my body with your evil. My love, how do you know till you try? He winked at her with a wide grin. John, know this. When I do heal, I'm going to stab you for every time you've said my love. Do you understand? Someone woke up on the wrong side of the cot. If you're going to be a pest, could you just kill me and get it over with? I crave silence from you, Sister Euphemia said mockingly. She knew she should fear him, but she didn't. Few know what I'm about to tell you. It takes more than drinking vampire blood to become one of us, but drinking it will heal you quickly. You're lying. I may only be 22, but I can see your smooth-talking lies a mile away. No, I am not. There is a whole ritual to making a vampire. Also, every day you are up here sleeping, the city gets worse and more humans are turned or die. You need to get back on your feet. Please, Sister Euphemia, you're my only hope. Oh, please, that sounded like a stage actor reading a line. Why don't you go deal with the vampires yourself? I can't. Taking on that many at night would mean certain death. I need a human to do it during the day when they are weak, John replied. I'm not the only human in Paris, you know. She took another bite of bread with a drink of cleanish water. You're the only vampire hunter in Paris. Come on, you can't let the world burn when the cure is right in front of you. So, I drink your blood, feel better, kill vampires? Right. Sister Euphemia thought about all that was wrong with this line of reasoning, but there was one thing she couldn't shake. Her wounds could be fatal. It had been 2 weeks and she felt worse, not better. She wasn't healing, meaning her blood could be infected already. With no doctors, she had little chance of making it. Even with her belief in the Almighty and heaven, she was afraid to die. She was very young, and there was so much to do. Sister Euphemia wanted to save as many souls as she could. Was this a trap to turn her into an unwitting slave to John? Maybe. There were too many unknowns, but John was right. People were dying or becoming vampires. If she could save people, even with the help of the enemy, wasn't that a good thing? The entire vampire hunting power of Paris was imprisoned or killed, save for her. She had no time to wait for her bones to heal on their own. She had to act. Fine. I need to help people, even if they do hate the church. I can't do that from this bed. But know this, I will not be a vampire. I'll run into the sun the first chance I get if you're lying to me, John. John looked her right in the eyes. I promise you will not become a vampire. To trust your word would make me the biggest fool. But I need to help people. What must I do? She asked. John produced a vial of blood. Drink this. It will heal you up and give you strength, he said with a smile. She took it from him and stared into the crimson liquid. Without looking up, she asked, Tell me, John, is there any salvation for a repentant vampire? Could you find your way back to God? I don't think so. I will admit that after all this time, I miss the church. Not the church I knew when I was alive. I was beyond arrogant and full of hubris. Still am, he smiled at her. What I really miss is praying and feeling like God was listening. I lost that feeling as a child before I entered the church or became a vampire. The innocence of blind faith is an amazing thing that you can't appreciate till it's gone. He looked away wistfully. He meant what he said. For the first time, he was being honest with her. Did you become a vampire of your own free will? He turned back to look at her. Yes. It might seem strange, but vampires must receive consent to turn someone. If a vampire tries to force the conversion, it will not happen. God gives one the power to stand against the darkness. Interesting. I never said that, John muttered, looking away again. There's much about vampires and God we still don't know. Before I drink this, tell me more about how one makes a vampire. You must drink directly from a vampire's open vein, usually the wrist. By the time this happens, the human is usually a devoted servant of their vampire master. Bites on the neck are just how we feed, he replied. She looked at the vial again. It was ice cold in her hand. This is a bad idea, she thought, just before pulling out the cork and drinking it down. She let out a huge cough as the blood made its way down her throat. It burned worse than any alcohol she had swallowed. It was like she was on fire. Every muscle flexed at once and she howled in anguish. She could feel her ribs moving back into place. She wasn't sure how long the process would take, but when it was done, she fell back on her cot covered in sweat. Her body no longer hurt. She felt great. John leaned over her. They looked into each other's eyes and he bent down to give her a kiss. Slap! What do you think you're doing? You try and kiss me again and I'll cut your bleeding head off. Get out of my chamber and wait downstairs, she commanded. John rubbed his jaw, stood up as if he was not just trying to kiss her, and walked out. I swear to Almighty God, when I'm done with this mission, I'm going to send that fool vampire straight to hell, she mumbled to herself. Getting up quickly, she looked at her body. All the bruises were gone. She felt alive, which was funny, because she just drank undead blood. She took off her clothes, washed her body as best she could, and put on new clothing. It took an hour, and John was beyond bored, waiting for her. She came out looking like a new person. Finally, what took you so long? He asked. I had to bathe and change, she said. Fine. Let's get down to the plan. You have the locations where they sleep. They have no one guarding them, he said a bit coldly. Hubris, she muttered. Precisely. They can wake to fight. They are in complete darkness, so you'll want to kill the older vampires first. If you don't, they will kill you. How will I know who the older ones are? She inquired. Easy. They have coffins while the others will just be on the floor. Once you kill a vampire's master, its spawn will become much weaker, so they should be easy to deal with. How many old vampires are at these locations? Sister Euphemia asked. 5 at most. And how many spawn? 100 or 200, John replied. What? 100 or 200? Are you mad? I can't beat that many vampires on my own, she protested. You can with my blood and with the older ones out of the way. Trust me, he said. How long does your blood last? Not sure. Here are more vials for you to take if you need. Just remember, don't take them until you feel the effects starting to wear off. Taking more might come with some side effects, John said ominously. She took the vials, and the two of them went over the plan for the next 3 hours. Right before the sun rose, John said goodbye and good luck, then headed out into the pre-dawn night. She looked over her weapons, put the vials in an easy-to-reach place, and then, for what she'd hoped wouldn't be the last time, she kneeled to pray in the main sanctuary of the cathedral. Dear God, I'm sure there must be a prayer for when you are about to go to battle, but I just want to talk to you. Vampires are not the savage monsters I thought they were. No, they are much worse. They are cunning and sophisticated. I know I sinned by taking John's help and drinking his blood. I did it to save people. I hope you understand and can forgive my sin. I set out to fight evil in your name. Please, help me bring an end to the vampires in this city. With your guiding light, I know I can defeat them. I love you, God. Amen. The sun had started to light the sky. It was time. At first glance, Sister Euphemia thought she would have to go through the Paris sewer system to get to her targets, but the map led to underground catacombs, long, dark tunnels created to connect underground ossuaries. She could tell there had been a lot of movement. John's blood allowed her to see well beyond human ability. She made it to the first location. It was pitch black, but her new powers made seeing in the dark easy. She snuck to the first elder tomb, avoiding the sleeping vampires on the floor. Lifting the lid, she peered inside. It was a beautiful woman, the most beautiful woman Sister Euphemia had ever seen. The nun smiled for a moment and then with brute force drove a stake through the vampire's heart. It let out a yowl and then dissolved. This is not how the younger ones die, she thought. The room burst in screams as the younger undead woke. Euphemia dispatched them in short order with grace she had never had before. But as the last one exploded, she could feel her new abilities falter. John's magical blood did not last as long as she thought it would. She caught her breath, popped the cork on the next vial, and when done, threw it on the floor. She moved fast. It was the only way to win. Every vampire she killed exploded in a hail of blood and guts. One location after another, she killed the elders and then the weaker ones, each time popping the cork of John's magical blood and then throwing the vials to the floor on her way out. By the final tomb, it was almost dusk. At that point, she had killed at least 400 to 500 vampires, including several elders. I did it all with John's help, she thought, and then smiled. Caked in blood and gore, she looked like some shimmering crimson ooze monster. I need a bath so badly, she muttered. The young nun took the last vial of blood, popped the cork, and opened the last tomb's door. It was empty. Sister Euphemia walked in to make sure it was clear. Strange, she thought. Then John's voice broke the silence. This is the right place. You've done well, my love. Sister Euphemia turned to look at John, standing at the entrance. So this is the trap. It's nightfall, and you're here to take me out now that I've done what you wanted, she said in a deadpan tone. Wow, you are a mess. I guess killing over 500 vampires will do that, though. Good job. And no, this is not a trap. This is me making you my servant, or even lover, if I wish. The blood, my love. You drank all of them, correct? He smiled. I did, she replied weakly. Oh, Christ Almighty, I can feel it. I can feel you in my soul. All those vials. You are a lying bastard. I knew you couldn't be honest for a moment. Why am I so stupid? You promised you wouldn't make me a vampire. We had a deal. She grabbed her stomach, her face contorted with regret. Now. I promised you I wouldn't make you a vampire. I have not. But I did not promise that I wouldn't take control of you through ample amounts of my blood in your system. I knew exactly how much you would need to get to this point, he said with an evil grin. I knew you'd drink the last vial when you got to the door, because I warned you to. I told you that the deeper you went, the more vampires there would be. You, being young, overconfident, fanatical for a fake god, and a hothead, ate it up. You even asked for a promise like a child. Sad. John put his hand up. Come to me, my love. Sister Euphemia fought with all her might, straining to stop walking to him. He laughed as she stumbled forward. Finally, she was next to him. He took her in his arms. See, my love, it all worked out for the best. Yes, master. Except you should know something. What? I only drank that first vial to heal myself. I poured out the rest, and within a second she slammed him against the wall and shoved a stake into his chest. Stunned, he looked down. Why did you miss? John asked, still confused. I whipped out a lot of vampires today, sure, but not all of them. I left your blood at each tomb. She then poured out the final vial. I don't think your kind likes vampire killers, am I right? You watched over me while I healed. I can't kill you now, but they can. John pulled the stake out. What's stopping me from killing you right now, whore? Sister Euphemia closed the distance and slapped John hard. Because you know the only way I survived today was my ability and God's blessing. You know I can take you. Now you'd better leave here soon before the vampires I've left come and kill you for what you did. John stormed out of the tomb furious. Oh, John, he stopped in the hall. We are even. The next time I won't miss, you daft bastard. John didn't say anything, and in a moment was gone. Sister Euphemia could hear the vampires coming, so she made her way to the nearest exit and disappeared too. Whew, Sister Euphemia was one tough nun. Would you make a bargain with a vampire? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.